God Almighty, let's open up our Bibles, please, as we continue our series, How to Handle Hardship Triumphantly, Victoriously, Gloriously, Successfully. Amen. So that God gets the glory. Let's open up our Bibles to the foundation text, Exodus chapter 2. Reading verses 23 through 25. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us to have ears, Father, to hear your word tonight. Amen. Let us hear it like never before. How to handle hardship triumphantly. How to handle it gloriously, successfully. Amen. Because we all handle it, but we don't necessarily handle it victoriously or triumphantly or where we bring God glory. Exodus chapter 2, beginning with the 23rd verse, and it reads, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God saw the people of Israel, and God knew." Amen?
Thank you.
We're dealing with those four verbs of what God did, because that is what's happening in heaven, from an heavenly perspective. That's what's happening. Although everything on the ground, everything earthly, appears to be hopeless and just all scattered every which way. But in heaven, if you're born again, these four things are always happening, and that should encourage us. What's happening? Heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant. Notice it didn't say, "and God remembered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Did you notice that? It did not say that. Why are you bringing that up? Because I want you to understand, it wasn't the people that he remembered. He remembered what he had promised. Amen. For the people. And that's what's unchanging. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Again, from an earthly perspective, verse 23, the first two-thirds of the verse, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died. The people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help." The king of Egypt dies. The new king continues the same thing. Their groaning continues. Again, from an earthly on the ground perspective, things do not look good. We're now shifting now to our heavenly perspective. And God heard. We went over that. Let's review that again. And God heard their groanings. Remember, groanings means an audible sound of pain and suffering. And God heard their groanings. We went over this, reminding us that God hears his children when we cry out. God hears his children when we cry out. We're just reviewing, so you don't have to turn there. You probably wrote them down already. Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked, but," contrast and conjunction, "he hears the prayers of the righteous." If you're righteous, God has heard, is hearing, will always hear your prayer. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over, literally keeping watch over, guarding and watching and directing and caring and looking after, paying attention to, with omniscient awareness, the righteous. Thank you, Lord. And his ears are open unto their prayers. He's bending down, anthropomorphically speaking, bending down to listen carefully with great attention to our prayers. And as a reminder, we don't have a far off God to try to satisfy. We have a God that has bent over and tilted his ear toward our prayers. They're open unto the his ears are open unto our prayers. But again, the reminder, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We're righteous. He hears our prayers. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He hears us. Now, we went over the imaginary objector. Well, God didn't hear me when I cried out. I went through this and I went through that, and God didn't hear me. And we just read all the verses. Yeah, I know about those verses. But you know what? And you weren't there when I had to go through this, so I'm dealing with this. You weren't there. It's good to go over this again in case you're sort of still thinking that in the back of your mind, or you know others who are saved, as far as we know, as far as you can possibly know, who are thinking these same exact things and speaking these things and then thinking these thoughts, and they're coming to you with this. Yeah, I know God hears, but I don't know about this. So there's a warning to the people of God. When we are going through, we just received a 2:30 a.m. call. We've just been told a medical report that's very much of a challenge. This has happened, that has happened. Somebody's missing, can't find this person. Somebody's on drugs, somebody's gone wayward. When we're going through the middle of it, there is a temptation, if we don't watch ourselves, to distrust God, to doubt God's care for us, yeah, or to doubt that he's even paying attention to us. So we must be careful when we're thinking those things. And when somebody's coming to you with, well, he hadn't heard me, he not, look what's going on. Then you want to prayerfully and lovingly, but sternly and with truth, let him know, hey, you got to be careful right now. Because what the devil is trying to do is to get you to distrust God, to doubt God. And if he can get us to do that, guess what? I got you, because then there's nobody else you can turn to that I can't mess up and distort and disturb. God does care. He is paying attention. But when we think that he doesn't care, and we doubt him paying attention, then guess what that can lead to? Us fearing the worst, being afraid the worst can happen. Some even walk away from the things of God. Well, we know according to 1 John what happens there, and they were never really of us. But the people of God, when it causes you to stop trusting God and you begin to doubt God and doubt that he's even paying attention, you're in a dangerous place at that moment, because God is our only hope. Let that sit for a moment. He's our only hope. There's no else to turn to. There's nobody else who's going to hear you. There's nobody else who's made a covenant with you that needs to be remembered. There's nobody else who's going to see you, and there's nobody else who's going to know you like God. So there's no arrows to turn, but we need to be careful. And of course, you know, one of the biggest things we do with this, if we once we're doubting and we are doubting that he cares for us, we're doubting that he's even paying attention to us, we're tempted to kind of walk away from the things of God in a certain sense. You know what else what we'll do, Christians will do? We'll shake our fist at God, meaning we're going to do what? Blame God. This is all your fault. How could you let this happen? How could you? We'll say, God ain't heard me when I cried out. To them, I would respond, careful now. Be very careful. Because what you're saying, according to 1 John 1:10, where it says, if we say we have not sinned, comma, we make him a liar. Yeah. Well, let's substitute. If we say that he hasn't heard us, we make him a liar because he said, I've heard you. And the truth is not in us. At that moment, the truth is not in us. It's not in your heart. It's not in your brain. It's not in your thoughts. And it certainly is not in your speech. You're calling God a liar because of how you feel. We make him a liar. And Romans 3:4 says, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. If God says, I hear my children, I hear you, I hear you, we're at several verses, my eyes are over the righteous, I hear the prayers of the righteous, when you moan and complain morning and noon, I hear your voice. If he says that I hear it, I hear it, and I hear it, guess what? He hears it, no matter what you feel, no matter what you think, or what I think. He does hear. We went over last time two reasons why we believe this. Two reasons why we believe this. Let's take a quick look at that. Two reasons. So the first reason that we believe this, the first reason is because God didn't do what we wanted him to do. I'll just shorten that. What we wanted. That's the first reason, or one of the reasons. Didn't do what we wanted. Because God didn't do. But isn't that something? How arrogant is that of us? Because God didn't do what we wanted him to do when we cried out to him. We conclude, think about this slowly but surely, God hasn't heard me or God didn't hear me. Think of the reason why you're saying that. Why we say that. Because God didn't do, and that's my proof. Wow, really? And I know when you're talking to your friend or even dealing with yourself or your family member and they're coming to you and they have tears in their eyes and they're broken, And you believe they're safe, because that's all we can go by, just our belief. You believe they're safe. You got to lovingly but sternly walk them through this to get them to this point. You got to get them back to trusting God. Because if not, they're in real trouble now. Because God is the only deliverer. He's the only helper. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's the only one. He's the only one with a throne of grace where we can find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. He's the only one. Amen. You got to talk to them. Talk to yourself. Do the David thing. Hope in God. Why so downcast? And when you're tempted to believe that God doesn't care about us, he's not paying attention, because he's just too busy, you got to get a hold of yourself and command yourself, hope in God. Self, soul, mind, thoughts, hope in God, I command you. Hope, remember, means to trust in God, means to wait with the outstretched neck, means expectant waiting. Yes, my Lord will help me. Not sure how he'll do it, but he will help. So the first thing is, because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. And that is extremely arrogant to do that. Now, how you say it to the hurting person, he may word it a little different. I'm just telling you just straight up, that's very arrogant. That's all us, whoever thinks that is God's children. You understand? I'm in that category too. But you let them know, hey, you don't want to think that. You can't conclude. You should never conclude that just because God didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to answer it doesn't mean he hasn't heard. What he clearly says in the word, in his word, I hear your prayer. And even anthropomorphically speaking, God is Ev-Huttoning our prayer. He's lending, bending over and has inclined his ear, so to say, to our mouth. He's attentively listening. Why he didn't answer? Now that's a whole different question. But to say that he hasn't heard, be careful. Because you're calling God a liar. And whatever problems you are having, problem or problems, you just cause it to be even greater because now you done threw God under the bus, symbolically speaking. Does this make any sense to anyone? Yeah. So when you're hurting, be careful. If it's possible, just shut your mouth. And when the things come into your thoughts, realize you're in the heat of the battle. You're in the fire. If you're going to just sing the song, or do we really believe that there's another in there with you? We're trying to tell you who that is, the God of all hope. Remember, we talked about how to handle hardship triumphantly, victoriously. The first thing is you got to understand I got to put my trust and then keep, remember who said that? Continuously hoping in God. It's one thing to start out when something's lasting 24 hours, 36 hours, 36 days, 36 years. How long were the children of Israel in slavery? 400 years. You know they believe God forgot about us. God ain't paying no attention. We're done. We're done. Generation. Think about our black people. Black folks. Think of 200 something years. Think of God. 200 is a long time. God ain't forgot about us. Some did. Not all. Because we know God has allowed some testimony to come through. Harriet Tubman is one of them. And so is Olauda Equiano. And is that book here? Is this writing here?
No, it's not here, but we do have a copy of it.
Yes. That's the slave went through the whole Middle Passage. He's one of those who was kidnapped. Y'all know the story? Sisters them split up. 600-mile trek from Central Africa to the western shores of Africa. And then that, you know, three-month trek to the eastern shores of the United States, where he was in slavery, gained his freedom. Live through it. Mary had children and wrote about the goodness of the Lord. Oh my goodness. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, unto your deliverance, to get you through your hard time. We can handle hardship victoriously, but you have to be told that you can through the word of God. You need to be encouraged through the word of God, and you need to be harped on over and over and over, because that thing can be so all-encompassing. You can be so surrounded on every hand by it that you can feel like, no, God has forgotten me. God has forgotten me. Let's not judge God. Because what we've done, we've ascended the bench. We've taken hold of the handle of the gavel. And we have pounded on the bench with gavel-dropping certainty that God hasn't heard me because he didn't do what I asked him to do. God is not some dog on a leash that you get to jerk the chain and he responds to it. He's not that. And just because God doesn't answer the prayer the way you answered it, as soon as you want an answer, the timing and everything, doesn't mean that God doesn't care for you. What you're doing is you're pulling God down. Remember Luther said, what did Luther say about us thinking about God? Yeah, all too human. Your thoughts of God are all too human. So when we, as human beings, when we're crying out to someone, we're begging, crying out, help me, help me, and they don't pay attention to them. See, they don't care about us. The God is not like that. God is God of all wisdom. Excuse me for jumping ahead to, and God knows, but God knows what we need in order to bring us to the place where he wants us to be. We don't know that, but I'm jumping ahead. We're going to get there. It's going to all make sense in the end. It's all for our good in time and his glory in eternity. No, he hasn't forgotten you. No matter what the devil tells you, and he's going to tell you, God has forgotten you. God ain't paying attention to you. God don't care nothing about you. But you must know the word and be steeped in that word and come back and combat the word by coming back at those thoughts and saying, yes, he does. Because the word of God says he hears the prayers of the righteous. And I will be like David. I will hope in God continuously. Continuously. This verse chapter. Let me go back. I want to let you know where that one is. Hope in God. You can write it down. We wrote it already. It's in our intro. Psalm 71:14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. I'm not going to praise you less. I'm not going to hope less. I'm going to hope continually and I'm going to praise you more and more. If David can declare that, if the psalmist can declare that, how much more we who are filled with the Holy Ghost? Yes. Psalm 71:14. Oh, be encouraged, word of life, people of God. And let's not jump and ascend the bench and grab the gavel and say, God ain't heard me because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. I love how one preacher pointed out, he said, you know, it is the grace of God that he even hears us. Mm-hmm. I love that response. Amen. Mm-hmm. It is the grace of God because he doesn't have to hear us. He doesn't hear the wicked. He graces us and says, I hear you. And I say it over and over. And even in the Hebrew words, Greek words, it even means for me to bend down and incline my ear to your lips. Kind of hearing. Right. I mean, I'm up close and personal hearing. Amen. That's the grace of God. Don't dismiss that just out of hand because he didn't do what you want him to do. And really, he may still do what you want him to do, but it's going to be on his timing. What were they groaning over? Slavery. In the song with the Rwanda song, with the Hutus and the Tutsis. Slaughtering. I mean, just, it's horrible. You can pay money to be shot. And if you pay money to be shot, you can get hatched to death. That's how horrible it was. And in that song, you can hear the singer mourn, Lord, didn't you hear us calling you? I can't imagine that. Can't imagine being on a slave ship. I can't imagine being a Hebrew under those conditions. I can't imagine being a Jew in Dachau, Birkenau, Auschwitz, crying out to God. I can't imagine. Oh boy, we need to still understand
still hears. And if it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, still do not start blaming God. Do not lose your hope in God. Do not stop trusting in God. And that's what David, I believe, his soul was being tempted to do. As he was depressed and his soul was roaring and things of that nature, he had to command his soul. No, don't stop. Hope in God. And declare, I will hope continually. And say, Holy Ghost, great is he that is in me. I need you to help me because I can't do this on my own. I need the power of God to do this because I'm going through a horrible situation. And notice, I want to keep acknowledging we're not dismissing horrible situations. We're trying to tell you how to operate according to the Word of God in the midst of the horrible situation. And operating in the midst of it is not just hoping that it leaves and that's the only thing helping. Notice I haven't told you that at all. The Lord's trying to tell us to maintain our trust in God in the midst of the horrible situation. Not just hoping that it just leaves. I mean, you can say, Lord, take it, but be prepared if he doesn't. Because it is a grace of God to hear us. And it is a grace of God that even hears us and promises that he hears us, whether he answers our prayers the way we want him to or not. Or even whether our circumstances change or not, it's still a grace of God. Whether our circumstances change or not, it's still a grace of God that he hears us. Whether our prayers are answered or not, or whether our circumstances change or not, it doesn't change the fact that it is a grace of God. Lord, help us understand this next statement. It is a comfort to be able to talk to the Lord knowing that he hears us. That ought to bring us comfort. Amen. I'm going through a horrible situation. You know, if talking to another human being helps you a little bit, how much more ought it be to talk to God about it? That's what, and I will say, through that, I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus and tell him what? All about our troubles. You hear the faintest cry. Now, whether he answered by and by the way we want it, that's where we got to be careful. I want to beat that horse dead, if you will. May not be the way we want it. But still know that he's heard. Take comfort in the fact that I can talk to him. I'm talking to a God who's not distracted, who is fully engaged, who ears inclined to my lips, and he's hearing every single word. Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm hurting. I got a report. My kid is crazy. My nephew's just gone sideways. My husband just died. My sister just died. My father just got killed. I need you. I'm hurting. I'm being tempted to not trust you, but Lord, I'm going to make them talk to him. Just talk it all out for real. You already know all about it. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your trouble. Take comfort in the fact that he's listening and that you know that he's listening. That's where that old saying comes from. Instead of reaching for the phone, reach for the throne. Because he's listening. The second reason that we doubt that God is, that we doubt that God cares for us or is even paying attention is because we're only seeing things from an earthly perspective. We're only seeing things from an earthly perspective. That's a C right there. Okay? We're only seeing things, E-A-R-T-H, somebody need to teach the pastor how to spell H-L-Y. That's raggedy, Miss Starling. Excuse me. Yeah, sorry. That's real raggedy. But earthly. Slow down, Miss Harris says. Yeah, E-A-R. Let me spell it out loud. T-H is earth, L-Y. Okay. Thank you, Miss Harris. From an earthly perspective.
We're only seeing things from an earthly perspective. And another phrase is what's on the ground. Yes. The literal ground, what we see right in front of us. We can get so tunnel vision concerning what's happening right now that we tend to forget even that God even exists, even if it's for a moment. Hey, I want you to hear me. I hear you. There are things that can be so horrible that you just, I mean, you're just gone. Yeah. We're human. But what I'm trying to tell you, you don't have to stay there. I'm not saying don't even go there, but I'm saying don't go there long. Recognize. Let this teaching break through. Let this word of the Lord break through. Let the Spirit of the living God break through and remind you. Hey, God is here. He's here with you in this fire right now. He isn't gone anywhere. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't panic. Don't run out. For the first reason is he didn't do what we wanted. Answer our prayers where we wanted an answer. Second, we're only seeing things from the ground. Only from the ground. The good news is that God has heard us because he said he has. He has heard us. He does hear us. And we'll close with this. God is never too busy, put that in quotes, because of course he's not busy at all. This is nothing for him to run everything. But he's never too busy, or he's never too preoccupied to hear us, even though he's running everything. Now let's look at what he's doing. But even and as I show you what he's doing all day, every day, I want to let you know, because he's God, he's never too busy or too preoccupied to still closely incline his ear to our prayers, his ear bent to our mouth. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 3. Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he, look at this, upholds the universe by the word of his power. He's upholding the entire universe. Keep that in mind. Turn over to Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse 3. Psalm 75, verse 3. We got it? Psalm 75, verse 3. Because this is what you want to show your people now. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. Doesn't that fit with uphold everything by the universe? He is keeping steady pillars of the earth. Of course, all of these are, terms so that we can understand. It is as if the earth were upheld like a building with pillars, and he keeps it steady. Yes. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Look at the second one. For from him and through him. Through him. That means he sustains all things. He keeps all things going. So first he upholds all things. Secondly, he keeps all things steady. S-T-E-A-D-Y. Third, he sustains. A-I-N-S. All things. He upholds all things. He keeps everything steady. He sustains all things. And you can put underneath there, same thing. He keeps all things going. Look at Colossians 1:17. Colossians 1:17. Lastly, he holds all things together. Colossians 1:17. And he is before all things, and in him are all things hold together. Colossians 1:17. He upholds all things. He keeps all things steady. He sustains all things. He keeps all things going. And he holds all things together. Yes, that's the song. So, 2, 3, 4, 5. So listen to this. See, someone say, see, I knew he didn't hear me. Because no way he can do all of that. And still bend his ear to my, hold on, we're talking about God. Let's erase the, what did Luther say again? Behold what? Our thoughts of God are all too human. Let's erase that right now. Amen, Auntie? Let's erase that. You say, hold on. God is doing all this. He's upholding all things by the word of power. He's keeping all things steady. He sustains all things. He keeps all things going. And he's holding everything together. How are you going to have time for me? How can he then say in his own word, which he did say in his word, that he hears our prayers? He's attentive to our prayers. He hears us. I love the example the preacher get. It's not like God gets so busy, right? He is spinning the earth on his axis, 23.5 degrees tilt, and then he's also causing it to revolve. So there's a rotation, which takes a day, and a revolution, which takes a year around the sun. And so it's not like God got busy keeping everything going, and then like we humans are, we're cooking. Let's go. I love that. You're cooking for a big thing, and you got the fire up too high on the stove over here, and so you know Brooke, go turn it up, Brianna, go over here. So God is not saying, hey, oh, oops. Let's go back to 1968. Dr. King is just said, Detroit is burning. Somebody turn it down. Oh, my Lord. Go spin that. You rotate that. I almost said.
Thank you, Lord.
That's not God. You don't have to send nobody over to spin that right quick. Oh, it's slowing down. It's not just standing up. Oh, Lord, help me. And then it's, oh, I forgot about you. Oh, Jesus, you're struggling over here. My bad. Oops. Detroit is burning. Turn the stove down. It's not God.
Thank you, Lord.
I walk you through this on purpose. He can handle it all. He is God all by himself. You know what the old saints used to say? And he needs nobody's help. Sister Jackson used to say that all the time, remind, he's God all by himself. And as my pastor friend Rodney Pearson says, and he's pretty good at being God. He's pretty good at it. Yes, he can uphold all things. Yes, he can sustain all and keep them steady. Yes, he can sustain all things. Yes, he can keep all things going and hold it all together and still attentively bend his ear to your lips and hear your prayer. Oh, somebody ought to say glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's the God we serve. That's who is our Father. Hallelujah. He's there. He's there. And he's never going anywhere. He holds it all together. The song says, in my hands, it fall apart. But he holds it all together. In my hands, it would fall apart. He got the whole world in his hands. Thank God they're not in mine. Thank God that my world is not in my hands. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Because I can't keep nothing going but a mess, but mess. Now, I'm good at that. Human beings, sin, fallen human beings, we major at keeping mess going. We can sustain that and keep that nice and sturdy. Let the church say amen. we major in keeping mess going because we got cousins, uncles, aunties, and nephews that just keep it going all the time. The line in the movie was, you're just addicted to drama. Yeah. Addicted to chaos. Yeah. Yeah. Your wife was tired of the husband, said, you're just addicted to chaos. Done with you. We keep that going. And if we hold anything together, it's going to be none but trouble and bitterness and hatred and resentment and no peace, no joy, no love. Thank God we're not our own shepherds. Because we shall always want and lack. He's got you. And just because it's not changing, Lord help us understand this whole thing, us when you not understand the series. Because it's not changing, doesn't mean he's not listening. Because it's not changing, doesn't mean that he's too busy. Oh, by the way, let's go back to the third thing. I don't know if you got space in your notes up there. But if you got space back up to put a third thing as to why we believe that God hasn't heard us, the third thing would be because we feel he is too busy. We feel he is too busy. That's the third thing. If you put that down, yeah, God is too busy. He's too busy. He can't do all that other stuff and be attentive to my prayers. Be careful now. Be careful. Father God, hopefully you've encouraged us today. What you've done, I'd like to think, is that you've gotten rid of that. You've lightened the stain of thinking you're like us some more. You scrubbed some more out of that. Because we still have vestiges, remnants of thinking that you're like us. Our thoughts of you are too human, and you're working on scrubbing that mindset out of our brain. You are Almighty God. Nothing is too difficult for you. Help us to trust your word, the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance, unto being rescued, and to triumphantly, gloriously handling hardship. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen. Amen.